Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Runner's World Podcast.
Welcome to the Runner's World Podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
This week, we're talking with comedian Tom Lucy about why he's running the London Marathon this year. And tech guru Kieran Alger will be popping in to give us a roundup of the latest, greatest running technology.
I'm not very good at assessing how big a challenge things are going to be. So I'm also quite a big yes man. So I will just say yes to things without properly thinking through what it means.
I've got two pieces that actually diverge quite nicely. They sort of show how tech, I think, can be used brilliantly and how tech can actually go a little bit awry.
How was your weekend, Rick?
Well, I was at the Big Half on Sunday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, doing a bit of a half marathon. Lovely weather for once, because historically, the Big Half weather has been terrible. So there was like the Beast from the East in 2018.
Oh, the classic.
The classic. 2019, and wind so bad that, do you remember this video that went around?
Oh, yeah, the big, was it Big Ben?
The guy was Big Ben.
Right, and he got basically blown over.
Sort of blown over at Canary Wharf. And I think he made it round, but, you know, it was terrible. This yesterday was really good.
Yeah, you were, the sun god did shine.
Yeah.
Spring is here, everyone.
Spring's here. I was pacing the 140 wave.
Oh, well done.
Which was very nice. Lovely bunch of people in that. And, I met a fan of the podcast as well.
Oh, there is one.
There's a guy called Michael Dickinson out there. And he came up to me and said, he'd been running in the 140 wave. He didn't realise. He said, oh, hi, is it Ben?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And I said, no, it's Rick. And he said, oh, okay. He looked a little bit disappointed.
I'm sure.
I said he was a fan of the Runner's World podcast. I said, that's very nice. I'll pass on your regards to Ben.
Yes.
So fair play, Michael. He ran 1:39-something, PB.
Well done, Mike.
So fair play. Well done, Michael.
That's excellent.
Yeah, well, tell you what, we've got a lot to get through this week, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got a great guest.
Great guest.
Some tech chat.
Some tech chat.
Which I always enjoy.
And Kerry's back to give us the roundup of the weekly running news.
Oh, that's too much.
But before all that,
oh, okay.
I've got a quick running question for you.
Go.
What's your favourite running fruit?
What, a fruit that I would eat on the run?
Yes.
Banana.
Okay, that's a good choice, but it's quite weighty, isn't it?
I suppose, yeah. Okay. I was taking flavour and nutritional benefit into account rather than like...
It's a legitimate choice.
Cumbersome. Oh, what a great question. No, banana. Why, what's yours?
I'm going to say, and I've had some bad experiences with this fruit as well, but I think the date is good.
Okay.
Because it's like small.
You can't take, but you need more than one.
For sure. You need like a little handful, like four or five.
But I reckon if you laid them out in a line, that would be the same as a banana.
Are you saying that I'd end up with the same amount of weight?
Yeah.
Maybe that's true.
Stones.
Yeah, you could get a pitted grape, pitted date, obviously.
All right, fine.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a fascinating question
My
for our listeners,
God.
Isn't it?
Well, that was the humdinger
Let
of a start.
Let us know, podcast@runnersworld.co.uk, what is your favourite running fruit?
That will be the most emails we've ever received. Guest of the week, here in the studio, guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone, could be an athlete, could be a physio, or a complete unknown.
Tom Lucy has established himself as one of the most exciting new comedians around. He's also running the London Marathon this year in aid of Bernardo's, and we're delighted to have him on the podcast to find out how his training's been going. So, Tom, just before you came in, we were talking about running fruits.
Yeah.
So what's your favourite running fruit? Do you have a favourite fruit to eat?
Running fruits?
Before or during
a run?
Is
that a euphemism? Or do you literally mean fruit?
Actual fruit, yeah.
I've not heard of that before.
No. This is the calibre of question you expect.
Okay. I don't know. I've never ran while eating a fruit before. Right. Maybe I should try.
Yeah, you could do. Yeah,
is that a big thing to do?
Well, Ben was a big fan of the banana, but I thought it was quite heavy.
Yeah. What, running while eating or before?
Before, you can enjoy one on the
running run. Running while eating anything is quite dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I went for the date because it's quite sort of pocket size, but like a lot of calories.
Right. Yeah, date's a good one. Grapes would work as
grapes
well.
Grapes work.
Raisins, that could work.
Raisins, yeah.
Quite high in sugar as well, which is what you need. Yeah. What are those things that people like shoot into their mouth, like a tube?
Oh, like a gel.
On the actual marathon, yeah, like a gel that they like fire into their mouth. Yeah. What is that?
Yeah, that's sugar. Like an energy gel,
it's
yeah.
It's like
yeah.
sugar.
Yeah, it's like sucrose or fructose. It's like the two, those are your two sugary.
Oh.
You're so technical.
Well, you know, sugar from sugar or sugar from fruit. Those are your, you know, those are your two things.
Sucrose or fructose. And,
sugar. So
and what's
fructose.
The best sugar? Let's end this here and then. What let's settle this argument. What's
golden syrup.
Golden sugar. Golden syrup's the best sugar.
I think if you got a gel of golden syrup, everyone would be happy.
Well, the latest one is it's a brand called Morton.
Okay.
Who are this, I think they are Swedish or Danish.
And
they are, what are they called? They got special, they're called a hydrogel.
Okay.
I don't know all the science behind it, but apparently that's the one that like Mo Farah and Eliud Kipchoge.
That's because it has the highest quantity of carbohydrate in it per like mil.
Really?
So you're just like, you're
slamming it back.
Yeah.
This is what you're like supposed to be consuming while you're running.
Yeah.
Sugar pods and
all that stuff.
Tubes of liquid.
Yeah.
And a banana.
We can sort you out of a few. It'd be a kind of coming
on
the podcast.
I would love that. I'm not at that stage yet with my running. I'd just take a bottle of water with me.
Yeah, well, maybe that's right. Go on.
Well, I was going to say, but you're doing the London Marathon.
Yeah, I'm doing the London Marathon. You two are probably like proper runners. I'm not a proper runner. I'm someone who's doing the marathon and training to do it, but
I wouldn't
call myself a runner.
I'm sorry, but by default you are now.
Does that make me a runner?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
or maybe I'm a runner. You're a runner.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, comedian/runner.
Take gels.
Yeah, I'll get some gels. I'm getting quite into Lycra. I'm getting really into it. Yeah.
So why did you decide to do the London Marathon then?
Well, it was it's kind of, I'm not very good at assessing how big a challenge things are going to be. So I'm also quite a big yes man, so I will just say yes to things without properly thinking through what it means. So I've been an ambassador for Bernardo's charity for 2 years maybe. And then Jack, who's my friend who works at Bernardo's, said, what do you think about doing the London Marathon? This was like last September. I think it was over the phone and I was doing something else at the time. And I went, yeah, great. That sounds fun. Without really thinking about it. And then, of course, these things get discussed and emails get put together. And before you know it, you're signed up to some massive thing.
Did you like have an idea of the distance? Like, because I've got friends who've
really.
Gone, oh, no, I'll do a half marathon.
Yeah.
And then they go, that is 10, 10 something.
Yeah. No. Well, the thing is that I know I have friends who've done the London Marathon and they're not. Some of them are not in great shape, so I kind of assumed if they can do it, I should be able to do
it.
But there's also this weird thing where I have some friends who don't look like they're in shape, but are in shape. Mm. And when I've been running with them, they just completely leave me for dead. But they don't look at them, you wouldn't think they were great runners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get elites who have incredibly bizarre
sort of running style.
Do you know what it is? It might be to do with the fruit they're eating.
Yeah.
I've just realised that might be what it is.
Oh my God. How many dates have you had before? Has it been tricky to sort of fit training in around the life of a touring comedian?
Kind of. I mean, comedians are generally around during the day.
Right.
Because we work at night. So most days I'm kind of around. So it's been quite nice in that sense. But I kind of underestimated how time-consuming training for a marathon is, because running like these big distances takes like 2-3 hours, and in a day that's quite a lot. That's basically a whole morning.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So it is quite time-consuming. I don't know how you guys fit.
No, the same. Everyone, when you get into the especially now March, and everyone who's doing London, you're suddenly reaching the peak mileage that you're going to be sort of building up to.
Right, right.
And you do suddenly realise, wow, this is all of my time.
Kind of is, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's nice because there's a real... I live just near Hyde Park, and that's where I normally run. And there's kind of a nice culture of, like, fitness in Hyde. There's a lot of people running. And when you get into the park and you're with loads of other people, it's quite easy to just stay motivated.
Is that where you do most of your runs?
Kind of, yeah. I started doing just on a treadmill because it was, like, December, January, and it was freezing.
Yeah.
And then I got told very quickly by some people who know more about running that that's not actually... If you're doing a marathon, you need to be training outside.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be running it outside. Yeah, yeah. So it helps to do it outside.
How did you find a treadmill, though?
Easier, much easier on a treadmill.
Yeah.
Do you find that?
Well, this is there's always a great stigma with a treadmill. Everyone call it the dreadmill because they don't want to be. They don't want to be on a treadmill
for easier.
But this is refreshing. Maybe
yeah,
it's just like,
refreshing. Yeah.
Maybe it's just
refreshing.
Like the consensus has just been absorbed and everyone believes that that's true. Where in fact,
yeah. Well, I think it's so easy to stop when you're outside.
Yeah, it's true.
You just literally stop. Yeah, yeah. But on a treadmill, it's a bit harder to stop. You're kind of slightly forced into carrying on.
Yeah.
So I think it's easier.
Have you enjoyed it? Have you been anything about running that sort of surprised you as someone who didn't run a lot before?
Yeah, I have enjoyed it, to be honest. I feel like it's this is maybe like a really basic thing to say, but it's made me feel like a lot more kind of awake and energetic, and it's helped a lot with that, I think.
Yeah,
I always liked running before, but I would just run like 2 miles rather than 10. But
I think that's a common misconception about running, that it will knacker you out. I think it's an energising thing.
Yeah,
to do,
definitely. Yeah, and it's quite good for like clearing your head and when you're sort of, trying to write something, some sort of comedy thing, and then normally when you come back, you've thought of something during the run or I find it quite helpful for creativity and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, so Paul Tonkinson, who was on the other week, comedian, he was saying that he very much enjoys the switching off.
Yeah.
So, and then he gets to a sweet spot of like about 7 miles in, and then he might have some good ideas because his brain's like woken up.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of that point. So he never goes out thinking, I'm going to write great comedy on this run.
Yeah, yeah.
But he kind of like has these moments where your brain is obviously suddenly full of lovely like chemicals.
Well, those guys record a podcast
as they're
running.
Right,
I mean, that is... I can't imagine. You're out of breath and you're having to think about being funny and that's really difficult.
Yeah, it involves quite a high level of sort of base fitness, doesn't it?
True.
Right, I can be funny and have enough breath to talk on the run.
What do you listen to when you run? This is a big thing.
Nothing.
Music or podcasts or?
I tend to listen to nothing. I used to listen to music quite a lot.
That's amazing.
Nothing. It kind of interrupts me.
Really?
Yeah, I like being... I just kind of like...
Listening to the sounds.
Well, I actually just don't think of anything. I think that's the great thing about it. I am completely in a like...
Zen.
A completely like mist of just like, there's nothing going on.
That's kind of...
People think it must be like, oh, I'm so in like...
Yeah.
No, I'm just like, it's like dead air.
Right.
It's so in my head.
Right.
And that's why I really enjoy
That's quite nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You run into music, Tom?
Kind of, yeah. But then I find on the longer runs, music gets a bit boring. Yeah. So maybe I'll put a podcast on, but then a podcast doesn't really motivate you to keep going.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a mixture of the two.
Wait, maybe we should, if anyone's listening to this right now, keep going!
Yeah, people must listen to this, don't they?
Yeah, well, yeah, we've had a few people who listen to it on the run, so it's nice.
Yeah. Great.
You're currently touring with Joel Dommett, aren't you?
Yeah.
He's a runner as well, right?
He is a runner. He's just a big all-round fitness guy.
Okay, right.
And he's actually... He does a thing called CrossFit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just, like, insane. I don't know if you've ever seen anyone do it. But this Sunday, actually, he's taking me to a CrossFit centre and we're going to do it together. And I've never done it before. I've seen, like, documentaries about people doing it. And it's, like, people swinging from poles and chucking bricks around. And so I don't think that's going to go too well. but, yeah, he's a big CrossFit guy. He's done the marathon before a few times.
Yeah, I think so, right? Yeah. Do you ever go running together?
We've not been running together. I'll suggest that we do now, and I'll let you know how that goes.
Okay, yeah.
But he's in, like, unbelievable shape.
Right,
I mean, it's ridiculous how, like, in shape, particularly for a comedian.
Yeah, right.
There are no comedians who are in that good shape.
Do you think that will just change, that everyone will just suddenly realise that being a bit healthier is just kind of like...
Well, it's definitely a better way to live, isn't it? Undeniably. Yeah. But for comedy, it's funnier to be less less in shape, which is kind of the curse of comedy.
It's true.
You don't really... Well, I don't know. I mean, you could have examples on both sides because Joel's obviously doing very well and he's in great shape. But if you look at most household name comedians, they're not in great shape. It's to do with like status and you kind of want to be low status if you're... Right. Making people laugh, and if you look amazing and you're in great shape, it puts you on a high status. So it's quite hard to laugh at someone who's high status.
Yeah,
there's all this like philosophy behind it. But anyway, that's kind of boring.
Well, I like this because there's big Hollywood stars who've completely changed, like Jonah Hill.
Yeah,
and those guys who've completely.
Gervais was funnier when he was more overweight. I thought.
Well, there you go, and then and there's
the thing that I find weird about the Hollywood actors. Yeah. is it kind of seems like their job now is not to act, it's just to
be incredibly
in gyms.
Yeah.
It's true. Like, it's, do you know what I mean?
I saw a picture the other day of Ethan Suplee, the guy who was in My Name Is Earl.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Is that his name, Ethan? He's just a massive gym guy now.
Yeah, well, all the big actors are just like professionally ripped now. It doesn't really matter how good you are acting. It's just like The Rock and Mark Wahlberg. Yeah. And it's just about being fit now.
Yeah, and then you'll just get billions of dollars.
Yeah, and then you just, who cares if you can act? Yeah.
Have you had any injuries at all? Because I guess it's like your first marathon. A lot of people would be like, hampered it on in some way by like
should I have had an injury? Maybe I'm not training hard enough.
No, that's brilliant.
You may have a perfect running style and doing everything great.
No, what I have been doing is and this is really exposing me as a West London wanker. I've been doing hot yoga because it's kind of stretches you out, doesn't it, after you run for a long time. And I really like that. I'm really getting into yoga. So
that is genuinely one of the most complementary like things you can do with running, because running kind of tends to stiffen everything
because
everything's under duress and tension and you're kind of like moving around and all that you know, your neurological system and everything else, nervous system, kind of like builds up this whole thing, and then yoga's the opposite and just gives you time to just chill out.
Yeah, I really like it. It's fun. Although the first time I did it, I just fell asleep. They just say like lie down on the mat and just get comfortable.
Well, that means I think you're doing it really well.
Yeah, maybe that's what you're supposed to do. But no, I like it. It does sort of stretch you out and you feel nice afterwards. Yeah.
Has running found its way into any of your comedy?
No, not yet. I mean, there's a guy who I work with, who I write with, and he seems like very excited about the fact that we're going to get some funny stories out of this marathon, but so far, nothing. Maybe something funny will happen on the day.
Yeah, I think so. The day should be a good source of stories.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I do constantly sort of live my life hoping funny things will happen. So we'll see. I'm excited about the day, though. I've heard that the day is so much fun to be part of.
Yeah. So you're raising money for Barnardo's doing it, right?
Yeah.
Is there a reason why you chose that charity?
Yeah, well, I've kind of worked with Barnardo's for a few years. I met them because I did a gig for them in Edinburgh at the festival, and they asked me to host a big benefit thing they do every year. And then, I sort of did a few other bits for them. I did a big fundraiser last year at the Comedy Store, And then they asked me to become one of their young ambassadors. It's just a nice thing to do. I mean, I think particularly in comedy, and it's a very kind of narcissistic world. Mm. It's kind of all about you, really.
Yeah.
And it's quite nice to sort of do something that's a bit more... you feel slightly better about it afterwards.
Right.
Because it is a job that's very like... It attracts egomaniacs.
Right.
So it's quite nice to have something you do that you don't feel quite so guilty about.
All the other egomaniac times of your life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I've been to like visit a couple of the centres and they do incredible stuff. Yeah. So it's a really good cause to get behind.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, we wish you all the best of luck in the London Marathon.
Yeah. Are you guys running it?
Yeah, I'm going to be pacing the 3:40. So I have a flag that like 3:45.
Yeah.
On it. So
okay.
And there's pacers all the way. What's
pacer?
Oh, that's someone who is designated to run at a specific time.
Oh, so if I keep up with you, I'll be running it at three.
Exactly.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
You're like the safety car in Formula One.
100%. Yeah. And there's pacers from 3 hours all the way to 7:30, I think, or even 8 hours.
All right. So if I just run next to you for the whole thing,
exactly. Yeah.
It's quite a lot of pressure on you, isn't it?
Yeah, don't follow Rick. Just don't follow Rick.
Are you doing it?
No, absolutely not. I don't like marathons.
Oh right. Okay.
Yeah. More of a sprinter, would you say?
Not really.
just running, listening
just
to nothing.
Just running in my empty void. Yeah. That's all I want to do. Yeah.
Tom, thanks very much for coming on the Run as Well podcast.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
We're talking tech with Kieran Naga.
Talking tech.
He's an awesome ultra runner.
Talking tech.
Talking tech. He's very charming.
Talking tech.
Knows his polar from his garment.
Talking tech.
It's always a joy to say that we're being joined by Kieran Naga.
It's always an absolute pleasure to be in here.
Because well, I know that we both sound very excited.
Because I know that there's some nerdy stuff coming.
Yeah.
And also, Kieran's only wearing one shoe, which must mean something extraordinary.
Something's awry.
I've got something very special to talk to you about today.
Great.
And that is why I'm wearing one shoe. And I have another gadget that I'm going to hold up and wave at you so you can see exactly what I'm talking about. And yeah, so basically, I was wondering, you know, are we still talking about the tech of the Alpha Fly and, you know, the gains? Or have we moved on to...
Is it time to move the conversation forward?
L-carnitine?
Let's
go on one step further than that, because I wanted to talk to you about a couple of pieces of tech that arguably could enhance your performance in a different way, but as much.
Cool.
And I've got two pieces that actually diverge quite nicely. They sort of show how tech, I think, can be used brilliantly and how tech can actually go a little bit awry. So the first piece of tech I wanted to talk to you about is the Nerve Smart Insoles.
Yes.
Now, like, we've seen Smart Insoles before. They're not the first. There was an old set called Orion that have been out for a while. They're basically a set of sensors in an insole that slides under your normal soles, attaches to a pod that's on the outside of your shoe that has a GPS tracker in. The sensors can do things like analyze your strike rate, your kind of power, cadence, form, all of these kind of things, and then fire it to an app. And I've been testing those over the last kind of month. These are new. They're from a UK company. And one of the key things that they aim to do is to optimize your pace.
Okay. All
right. So what you do is you strap these on, you go and set a benchmark run, and then let's say a mile, and then you can go back and the Nerve app will tell you basically what you need to do to go a little bit quicker. So you can adjust your pace. And it will do that by saying, actually, in the run, in order to run 10 or 15 seconds quicker over that mile, you need to improve your stride length, your step length, and your cadence by a certain proportion. It will then speak to you over your headphones in order to real-time coach you to hit that pace.
Right.
That sounds great, doesn't it?
It's like a virtual coach that lives in your shoe.
It's like a virtual coach that lives in your shoe.
It's a very fancy pedometer.
It's also, unfortunately, really, really, really naggy.
Oh, right.
And this is where I'm splitting these up, because there are some things that I think that just fit seamlessly into your running and you can welcome them in. And you guys know, I love a bit of tech. I've got a shoe here with three sensors on them and I'm normally wearing four watches.
Yeah.
But this, every 20 seconds, it will bark at you saying you're either not hitting the right cadence or your stride length is too short or it's too long.
Yeah.
So I ran for it actually over a 2 mile benchmark run, and in the 15 minutes that I ran that, literally every 20 seconds I had someone shouting at me, telling me I wasn't doing it right. And after that, I got to the end of this with the experience of, I was feeling this whole thing was entirely negative.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, I don't know how you feel about this, but there's a big argument to say that we've seen this tried before and no one has yet managed to nail it. I don't know if you guys ever tried anything like that.
Yeah, the Orion ones.
And even that was sort of similar, wasn't it? It's almost too interruptive.
No, it wasn't too interruptive. And the other thing with that was... The one thing that they sort of that was differs, unless, because I've not used these ones, but that one was kind of more like injury prevention. The Orion ones were kind of like predictive muscle load, and they were kind of like saying, "Oh, you're loading up your quads too much, and so you need to change your biomechanics to do such and such." So that was kind of good from a point of view, but it's based on biomechanical suggestions of like that's how you're running, rather than there's no sensors on my quads telling me that that's what's actually happening.
Yeah, I mean, and this is all based in a lot of kind of biomechanics research. They've got an awful lot of experts that have put these soles together. And actually, that's the next feature. There's the other big feature is something called running health.
Right.
And what that does is looks at over time at your cadence, at your pronation, at your balance, how your left and right are kind of hitting and what's going on there, and also at your training load. And it tries to help you paint a picture of your overall running health on a nice little diagram that can show you if something is way out of whack and you can work on that. And again, this sounds really great in principle, but in practice, there are some real big gaps here. So training load is only done by the number of miles cumulative. There's no physiological input.
Okay.
Right, so I might have run 40 miles last week, but I might have run them all at 180 heart rate, and that's going to be very different to my injury risk than
for sure
doing them really slow, right? So there are some big gaps here as well, and it's such a strange thing. I really salute the principle and the idea of trying to help runners do something that, you know, we all struggle with, which is avoid injury. But again, I feel like we're sort of missing the mark.
Yeah, it's reduced it down to just some key sort of data outputs, and actually that's not enough, really.
Yeah, I feel like the role of a coach, actually, for £250, the soles will last for 3 to 5 sets of shoes in terms of their durability.
Okay.
So if you run a 40-mile a week, I think I've crunched the numbers and it works out. Even if that's five pairs of shoes, that's around 36 weeks. So you're replacing your soles quite often as well. And then I flip back and think, well, actually, scratch my head. Should I just get a coach?
Mm.
Or should I just go out and try and, you know, there are other things outside of cadence and stride length, like working on my strength, running, doing hill reps.
That you could do anyway
that are going to improve those things.
Mm.
It also has no measure of cardio performance, so it doesn't take into account your aerobic capacity. So it doesn't matter how kind of ambitious you are to run a kind of 5:30-minute mile, if you haven't got the base level fitness, yeah, you're not going to be able to hold the form for that.
Got yeah. it.
So there's, right. So there's a few big gaps in it, and I really desperately want someone to be able to produce something
yeah.
that I finally slip into my shoes that work. I think the Under Armour shoes,
yeah,
the Under Armour Hover Connected range, get near that because they're very simple in what they do. There's a few metrics, and you know the tech is built into the shoes. They're not at an extra cost, and you get that. The Stride FootPod, I think, arguably has a lot more rich features than these. But it's kind of one to watch. They're going to develop.
It's almost like. What needs is the extra tiers of connectivity. So it's kind of like the footbeds will serve a purpose in terms of the metrics that you're getting via your feet. And then it needs to relate to, as you say, like the aerobic side of stuff needs to come from, you know, if you go onto a treadmill and you do a VO2, you know, you've got a mask and you've got all this sort of stuff. And it kind of like for those to be as effective as possible, it needs all the elements to feature in.
Yeah. And maybe it will come, you know, and I also just think there's got to be something about, it still has to be fun. You've only got a certain yeah. amount of time, and I'll come to this with the next product, but you've only have a certain amount of time and a certain amount of money to invest in your running. Right?
Yeah.
So if you have to go out and if you're running something, it doesn't feel like it's being effective or it's actually just making the whole experience a little bit negative. That's not really why we all do it, is it?
I mean, no, I agree. Yeah, if you're getting someone telling you you're doing it wrong every 20 seconds, that's the kind of...
Well, a coach will do that.
the sort of mental health de-stressing element yeah, yeah. of running that we all, you know... love is, that's out the window, isn't it? If you've just got someone telling you you're doing it wrong every 20 seconds.
The other day I was a very cross man after that 2 mile run. I wasn't happy.
I've run a sub-3 marathon, don't you know? Who are you?
Shouting at your shoes.
So by contrast, there's another product, which is, it's quite niche. And I would say most runners are not going to need to do this or probably want to do this.
Right.
But I think it's very interesting. It's called the AeroFit. Mm. And it is a digital breathing trainer. Now, I'm holding it up. It's basically got a mouthpiece that looks a bit like a scuba mouthpiece.
Yes.
And then a pod on the front, which has some controls which restrict the air in and out when you're right. breathing. So it puts a bit of resistance.
Okay.
And you can change the settings.
It basically looks like James Bond has just dived into a river after being chased by bad guys, and he's pulled something out of his pocket which allows him to breathe underwater.
It's exactly that.
That's what it looks like.
That's what it feels like when I put it in as well.
Yeah, good.
And it pairs with an app, and then it takes you through a load of guided training programs that can improve your lung capacity. They can help with your maximal inhalation and exhalation pressure. So it makes you breathe more powerfully in and out. And there's lots of different programs that target different things. So if you want to improve your anaerobic threshold, there are some targeted programs. And you only have to use it for 10 minutes a day.
Right.
Now, they've done some research, and there's other research outside of this about the power of kind of doing breathing work that rings true. And you can potentially get a 15% performance improvement from improving your breathing, basically your lung capacity and all of those measures.
Is it capacity or is it your strength of your diaphragm?
Well, it's actually doing both because you're getting that resistance. And here's an example of how you'll do it. You'll go through a series of rotations. So basically, you will exhale.
Mm-hmm.
Empty your lungs, inhale passively, so that's your muscles working, and then inhale normally, and then go through that again, and you hold at different points. And it's training the muscle system to mean that you can become a more efficient breather.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really easy. It's really easy. It's a bit weird when you're sat home with it doing it.
Yeah, but then you think, running's a heart and lungs game,
yeah,
isn't
yeah.
it, really?
So, I did something for men's health once, which was with one of those masks.
Mm.
So that looks, to begin with, that looks way better than one of those because that mask you strapped over your face
yeah.
and it was about restricted airflow. And they were all like, they were called like altitude masks, which is nonsense because you can't alter how the air is
yeah.
unless you are at altitude. It's all about restrictive flow, which makes your diaphragm work harder. So that's what this is all about, right?
Yeah, yeah. yeah. In a sense, there's other breathing work in there which can be for, you know, for mindfulness and slowing yourself down and getting rest and actually from recovering after you've done runs, and all of that stuff is built in. But the programs are super easy to follow. There's like 20 sessions and you just go through them day by day. And then you can do a lung test, which will show you how you've improved. So in my tests, I initially had a lung capacity which was really, really low, actually, for my average age. It was like 50, something like 50% below the norm for my age and my profile. And I've already put up an extra litre in lung capacity in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Both my in and out were also really low. And I'm starting to improve those, but sort of 40% and 50%, there's a huge opportunity for me to do something big. That might actually be better than buying a pair of shoes or some smart insoles.
How much is it?
And it's £211.
Right.
And the other thing about this is actually if you benefit outside of running as well, breathing better is a good thing that we can.
Yeah, true.
You know, we could all have some of that as well.
What's the sort of durability like, or the longevity of it?
It's absolutely fine. You get a couple of mouthpieces as well, so you can have one that you wash. It's very saliva inducing.
Scribbly.
So at the end when you put
it out. You don't
want
to share it, do you? You don't want to share it.
There is a lot of, but I think just it's really portable, and it's just an example of something that, if you've got a bit of money to spend and you wanted to do something cool, it's so simple to adopt it as a habit in your life.
Yeah.
It's cheaper than our Alpha Fly. Yeah. So there you go.
And that was my last sort of month in 2 pieces of tech. One very happy, one very frustrated.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Kieran. That's great. Yeah.
I want to give that a go.
The breathing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, see if we can get hold of one.
All right. We can do some. We can test it. Let's have a race for bigger lungs.
I should have brought the spare mouthpiece, and we could have done a real life lung test here.
Yeah. Mate, thanks so much for coming in.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
His fingers on the button, his ears to the ground. He's done a bit of Googling and he's had a nose around.
He's a detective wearing running shoes. Kerry McCarthy and his weekly running news.
Kerry McCarthy, welcome back to the Runners World Podcast.
Good afternoon, my fellow podcasters.
Before we go any further, favourite running fruit?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, favourite running, you mean to eat on the run?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Ding, ding, I don't know, ding. Dragon fruit.
Oh, whoa. Whoa.
Curveball smash.
Absolute curveball.
Right, wow. Fine, stop. News, what have you got for us?
Yeah, there's nowhere further to go with that, is there?
We've already talked about this too much.
Okay, so news. This weekend, you've talked about the big half, haven't you, already,
a little bit,
on the podcast?
Yeah, a little bit.
So in stark contrast to a race in a capital city that was well populated by spectators and participants alike, to another big race that was anything but, Tokyo Marathon was this weekend. And if you're listening to this, you may well have had a place and be thinking, sod you guys, you have to bring that up again. But yes, we do. It took place to basically very little fanfare. The coronavirus put paid to the to the mass participation of people. So they just had, out of the course, a couple of hundred participants, which was the elite athletes and wheelchair athletes as well. Mm. They even had, they vastly reduced the number of spectators and those that were there, volunteers.
Right.
And those that were there were sort of covered in masks and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
So it was quite an eerie experience. I mean, if you go on any kind of the news sites, you know, including on runnersworld.com/UK, there are pictures of just elite runners running past these kind of like metal hoardings where normally they'd be six deep and there's nothing. Imagine what that was like. But I mean, it's probably very sensible. There have been, I think the latest figure is 256 cases of coronavirus in Japan, and six deaths are the current stats, which I looked up just before I came here. They estimate there were probably 20% of the number of spectators out watching the race. So basically, they told everybody to stay at home, but obviously a certain number of people thought they'd go out anyway. It's hopefully not, but it's maybe a little precursor to what might happen at the London Marathon this year.
Our understanding
is that they're kind of keeping an eye on it.
The statement from those guys was they're obviously just monitoring the situation like everyone else is. I mean, at the weekend, a Paris half marathon was cancelled very last minute, actually, which is a strange move. But still, they cancelled that, and other races have been cancelled. So you've kind of got to put a slight sort of thought in your head about whether or not London will take place. I really do hope it does, but yeah, you never know.
Well, I mean, the schools in Japan have been shut. The football league, the J League, that's been postponed until the middle of this month, I think. The Olympic relay, torch relay, which obviously goes on for months, that's due to start at the end of this month, I think, and they've scaled it back, but they're keeping an eye on it.
Well, there's the Olympics as well, isn't there?
Yeah, the Olympics, that's end of July, the 24th of July to 9th of August, I think. That's I mean, we just have to keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah. How many cases did you say there were?
256.
So we've only had, like, I think as of this morning when we talked about this, 14 cases in the UK. So we're talking about
something like that, I think, yeah.
So, you know, there's a big...
A significant difference
in terms of, like, volume of cases, which warrants this amount of...
Yeah, but it's, I mean, they kind of... What they're saying is now that the people who hadn't visited any of those, you know, the affected countries are now picking it up from people who've come back. Right. So it's kind of metastasizing and spreading, and they expect it to be.
Yep.
Even though it's not deadly for a lot of people, they're expecting it to become the sort of pandemic that we all think. But yeah, one to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah.
From there, onto a subject that we've talked about before on the podcast, which is planking.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to do some riff about calling you two massive planks, but that would be too obvious. Yeah. Just to make you gym goers feel a little bad about yourselves, if you're thinking you can hold a plank for 45 seconds and that's pretty good, there is a 62-year-old former Marine from America called George Hood who broke the world planking record with a time of 8 hours, 15 minutes and 15 seconds.
I mean,
it's just unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, I'm not suggesting he didn't do it, but like, I just don't get that. Like you say, like a minute, you're kind of feeling it after a minute, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, there is an explanation. So what I find brilliant about this is that he had the world record in 2011 with a paltry 1 hour and 20 minutes. Then 5 years later in 2016, a Chinese police officer, whose name I shan't attempt to pronounce, came along and obliterated him with 8 hours and 1 minute.
Wow.
And since the Chinese police officer did that, good old George has thought, better up my game a bit.
Yeah.
And here's what he's been doing to train for it. He has been doing, bearing in mind, retired, 62 years old, although you wouldn't know it to look at him. He's like Dolph Lundgren with wrinkles. 700 push-ups a day, 2,000 sit-ups in sets of 100, 500 leg squats a day. For upper body and the arms, I do approximately 300 arm curls a day. He uses loud rock music to help push through the pain, apparently.
My God, he sounds intense.
That's hours, isn't it?
Sounds like an intense
hours.
Man.
Yeah. Hours,
yeah. Not surprisingly, now having added 14 minutes to the record, he's now announced his retirement from planking world record attempts.
Fair enough.
But they had to attach a catheter to him. They were feeding him gels.
That's rank.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Some records I don't think are worth chasing.
Fair play to him.
But you know what? You know, we're always banging on about core strength for runners. It really is.
Yeah,
you know,
but there's a legit study out there that says that doing more than a minute isn't actually that beneficial, and you need to be doing.
It's quality, not quantity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Someone better tell George.
Well, fine. All right. Well, that's good. Well done, George.
Yeah. Well done, George. And finally, it's just I wanted to have a bit of a conversation about running shoes, because that's something that we don't talk about enough.
No, rarely.
I was put in mind of this by a press release I received from Asics, which is now no longer under embargo. They've just released a new shoe called the Nova Blast. And when I read the release, it's kind of light on sort of technical details. Normally, as we know, you get these tourer and they've broken down the shoe into every single part and they're bigging up everything. They haven't really done that with this. All they've said is that it has their kind of their new flight foam midsole cushioning, which is very light, very bouncy. But what they have said, it's part of it's a shoe for a new younger generation of runners who don't just look for a great performance from a shoe, but also a sense of fun that makes them feel great and enhance their love of running.
Okay, so this is actually targeted at sort of...
I would imagine because they put in the release, yes, and, you know, it's reasonably sort of like fun in inverted commas colourway.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, it's light on the technical stuff and big on the, you know, it says it takes its inspiration from a trampoline, all that kind of language. Right. So everything suggests is that they're kind of going for the younger market here. This is not the first time, obviously, a brand have done that. Most of the brands at one time or another have gone, let's go for the ute.
Mm.
Yeah.
My question is, does it work? Should they bother?
I don't know, like the uptake in junior parkrun would probably suggest that there is like...
There's a market for it.
There's a market for it, right? So there's that straight away is kind of like quantifiable. If you're in the boardroom and you're trying to pitch why you should be making junior, like, come on, we should make shoes for everyone, including kids. Well, why? Well, junior parkrun's now a thing. All right, cool, that's a good reason. Mm. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I kind of just think that, I mean, kids just run around in whatever they've got on.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, I know that Brooks do a kids' range of shoes. I mean, this shoe that I'm talking about from Asics, it says a younger generation. It does obviously still mean adults. It just means,
right?
You know, as far as I can gather, sort of late teens, early 20s, okay. Stuff like millennials.
Okay.
Right.
Not children. And even the Brooks range, that, you know, the shoes are still like 45, 50 quid. Are you going to buy a 45, 50 quid pair of shoes for your kid? You're probably not. Like you say, they're going to run around and whatever. They're kind of going to have just as much fun. They're not like, oh, I wonder what my grand contact time is.
Mm.
Well, it's like you can get Garmin's for... Like,
Mabby, why can't I have a chip, you know, in the heel of my shoe?
Garmin's and Fitbits for kids. You're with, like, Disney, like, bands
yeah,
on and stuff
yeah.
like that. So,
I do, that's true.
I do like the idea of... And not to sort of bang the barefoot drum here, but, you know the kind of the Vivo barefoot style shoe that is, like, ergonomically, like, yeah. foot-shaped and doesn't kind of in any way, like, change the shape of a child's foot?
Yeah.
I think there's a place for those shoes.
Seb's got some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My son's got some. He runs around in those, but he also runs around in a pair of £10 Nike shoes that we bought at the outlet. So, you know, it's you definitely have these conscientious moments where you're just like, this is absolutely. But then kids are also incredibly fickle. So when we say to him, which shoes do you want to wear? He goes, I want my blue ones.
Right. Yeah.
And he's not bothered about like the Stackite.
No,
whether or not they've got flight foam.
He's not looking
blue
at his.
I want my blue ones.
His Fisher Price schedule pinned to the fridge. He's like, our tempo today.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll have the Kimbomas, please, Dad.
Someone was talking about, like, say, the de-stressing elements of running. That could be great for, like, kids in high school who are, like, getting stressed out about the GCSEs. Or obviously, all like the increased focus on mental health. I think, like, selling in running to teenage kids would be great.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that it's shoe dependent.
No, and you're also taking into account how incredibly important it is to be cool.
Yeah.
And that doesn't...
You don't think the Vivos are doing that?
They're just kid, like teen, say, if we're talking about that level of like involvement from a teen point of view. No one's going to be going, oh, those are really lovely looking functional Asics that you've got on.
Yeah.
What are you wearing? All black Nikes.
Yeah.
Done. Like, that's kind of, I feel like there's a lot of that kind of...
Yeah, some status.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The coolness of it means that you've got to be really into running to want to take a social hit in wearing your actual performance running shoes.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think?
That was my music.
Well, very interesting.
Maybe we need like a third... kind of jingle for me, kind of like Carrie's rant, Carrie's news, Carrie's confused Carrie.
Mm. Something kind of mysterious and haunting. Leave it with me.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks a lot for coming on.
Cheers, guys.
Speak to you next week. So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. A big thanks to our guests, Tom Lucy and Kieran Alger, and to you, of course, for listening.
The Runner's World podcast was recorded at Number 8 Studios in Soho and is available on Acast, iTunes and all your favourite podcast apps. If you've enjoyed the episode, please give us a review and remember to tune in next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.